Before we start the main show, I just want to give you a heads up on a couple things, as this is actually being recorded 2 weeks after we recorded the actual episode. First off, this episode did have a couple audio problems again. This will be the last episode with audio problems, as I do have my laptop back. So you're not going to have to worry about that in the future, and it only happened once. So you're not going to be missing very much at all. And also, I'm going to be heading to the Strength Seminar in LA in September. That means that there might be probably only 2 episodes of the FitCast in September. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a ton of interviews while in LA and also while I'm in Connecticut for Ryan Lee's boot camp. So there's going to be plenty of content coming your way. And now that I'm all set and back at school, there's going to be a steady stream of video episodes again as well. Just shot a episode of just reviews, which will be really cool to check out. So just giving you a heads up on those things. And here is episode number 20 with Dan John. I know you're going to enjoy it. And feel free to give us your feedback on it. But again, there might not be any episode next week. We will see what we can do, but I am stuck here at school for right now, but I'm promising you some great interviews from LA. Well, here it is, episode 20. This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com.
I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And with us this week, we have a special guest, Lou Schuler.
Dr. John Berardi.
One-on-one with Craig Ballantyne.
One-on-one interview with Bill Hartman.
I'm Eric Cressy.
Can't forget our shakes this week.
It's a hell of a super shake.
Yeah, let's start off with this week's news. Need any updates for the FitCast to get the show notes with all the links for the show, just go to thefitcast.com for all your FitCast needs. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast, FitCast episode number 20. For August 27th, 2006. My name is Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams, and today we're joined by a special guest, Dan John. Dan is the strength coach and the head track and field coach at the Juan Diego Catholic High School in Draper, Utah, and a full-time online religious studies instructor for Columbia College of Missouri. He has written several articles for online magazines, and you might know him from T Nation. By the crowd here listens to that. And welcome to the show, Dan.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Dan. It's a huge pleasure.
Oh, yeah, you bet. This is great.
Well, we're going to do a faster show this week. We're basically not going to be doing any news. We're just going to jump right into the shakes, then into the Q&A. So I'll start off with the shakes this week. I'm really not even drinking a shake tonight. I'm really wiped out today from the medication I've been taking. Just been taking some painkillers for my ankle still, and just been drinking some green tea. So that's pretty much my shake tonight. But it's cold green tea. It's iced green tea, which I boiled and then put in the refrigerator overnight. So that's somewhat nice. Special, I guess.
Nice. Well, it's better than mine. I'm drinking ice water. I just got done from a crazy day at work. Ran to my computer and turned it on, so I haven't had time to do anything. And by the way, Dan, I guess, I don't know if you and Kevin had talked before I got on, but Kevin tore a ligament in his ankle from playing basketball.
Oh, and then how does that fit into your long-term athletic plan?
Oh, it's just perfect. I mean, I got smooth sailing from now on, so.
Okay, good.
Upper body specialization now.
Yeah.
That's right. I like to plan a good injury every so often just to keep me young, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not too bad. Like, I just picked up an ankle brace today, and I tried kind of, like, fooling around with that. And, I mean, I'm going to try to do some squats and deadlifts tomorrow, and I'm going to do lightweight, so at least I can do something. I get pissed if I can't get to the gym, so.
Work the off leg as hard as you can, the good leg.
Exactly, yeah.
And it'll help, really will help recovery faster.
Dan, did you make a shake with this today?
Yes, my shake is a very interesting Pinot Grigio. It's from California. it's very nice. It was grapes not long ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And it's mixed with some oak casks. And
very good. That's one of the best shakes we've had on here so far.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's good because it's like an anytime shake. It doesn't have to be
at any time
of the day. It could be right when you wake up or before you go to bed, depending on where you are. But that's awesome. We'll just jump right into the roundtable this week. And, John, you going to start it off for us?
Sure. Let me pull up these questions here. All right. So we have several questions from the listeners of the FitCast. Frank S. asks, from a powerlifting perspective, what does your one lift a day program have to offer? And
I really liked the question because, you know, the early roots of powerlifting back in the 60s, there was only two schools of thought. There was those guys in Culver City, the original West Side guys, who had the Tuesday-Saturday workouts, where they did auxiliaries on Tuesday and the full lifts on Saturday. And the other school of thought was you squatted one day a week, you bench press one day a week, and you deadlift one day a week. And it's funny because, you know, through my life and the way things have broken out, I've tried a variation of that in the power lifts, and it's not a bad idea at all. So, Frank S., you know, the upside of it is this. The upside is this. Is that at least once a week you're covering everything. And if you do decide to throw in two extra days for auxiliaries, box squats, you know, some kind of bench press work or whatever, it gives you plenty of time to really say, okay, I need help here, and I need work there. Downside is, you know, with any of the one lift a day programs is when you compete, you do all three. And that's, you sometimes lose that ability. You know, that's one of the things I do is weight pentathlon and track with five different throwing events. And you literally have to train for this. You don't just throw the javelin. You throw the javelin after you threw the discus, shot, and hammer. So when you step up, it doesn't feel like you just picked up the javelin. You've got a tired right arm. You got a tired right side. And so the upside is you're going to get your work in. On a squat day, you're going to squat. You know, you can't go to the adductor machine and pretend you're really working. Downside is it doesn't necessarily, it's you're still going to have those workouts where you do all three lifts in a day. But the funny thing is, if you go back to, like, for example, Terry Todd's original book, Inside Powerlifting, you'll notice that some of the early great powerlifters, and of course in the book is Pacifico and a lot of great ones, and a lot of them did this kind of workout or a variation of it. You know, I thought that was a pretty good question, you know. One lift a day shows up in the late 60s with Olympic lifters. And then, of course, I fell into it just because, you know, I like the idea of working out for 45 minutes. His follow-up is, you know, what about subbing in movements a little easier? Now you're starting to slide right in, you know, now you're starting to slide into what's kind of fun about doing a one lift a day is if you have five or six variations of the squat you want to run through in a month, you know, and you say Monday and Thursdays are your squat days, try doing those variations. So week one on Monday, say at the squat day, would be low box squats. Thursday might be the banded faster squats. Next Tuesday you're doing a medium box squat, and the next one is a one or two or three chain squat. And so every variation, you know, you might do Zercher's the following week. All the variations you want to do, you can do in a month's time. Is it a perfect answer? Well, to be honest, from what I've seen, I still think West Side has the best answer. But you're not going to beat the West Side guys doing the West Side program. Mm-hmm. You know, you if you want to beat the Greeks in weightlifting now, you got to do what the Iranians did. Is they took it and ran in a different direction. They took the concept and then shot into a less volume direction. So whenever you want to beat somebody at their own game, you have to kind of do something a little different. I love everybody, especially on T Nation, you know, Dave Tate or Jim will write an article, and people try to, you know, beat West Side, you know, there in, you know, Kentucky or whatever, you know, and they just always seem to miss the mark a little bit. Mm-hmm. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it's a good question, and it's one of those things where I like the idea, and if Frank doesn't mind, to stand back, don't look at a week at a time, but to look at the 5 or 6 weeks and just say, okay, these are the exercises I want to do. If you do want to do one lift a day, come up with 15, 20 exercises and try to plug them in. Try to plug them into 6 weeks. I mean, it's fun to do that, and it's very informative. coming in to work out and just doing the bench press, say, with four blocks, and or whatever you want to call them, four sticks or four, so you've got about 6 inches of wood on top of your chest. That's an interesting day if that's all you're doing. You're not going to get tired. You're going to come back really fresh the next day to do whatever you want to do. The upside of, the One Lift a Day program for everybody has been, man, you go in and you work really hard and you'll notice, I'm done. Yeah, you're done. Goodbye. Thank you. But I still challenge people to try to squat seriously for 45 minutes and not dink around.
Right.
Seriously, right. Squat for 45 minutes. I challenge you. I mean, I've done the Russian squat program, the original variation. You had one workout that was six sets of six. I think that's what it was. Oh, my heart's still in the gym right now. I'm still dead. Still tired. I still got out of bed and limp. So I hope that answered it pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, okay. For sure.
Let's jump into the next question that comes from Irish Daza. He asks, what strength feat are you most proud of?
You got some time, do you?
Plenty of time.
Let's kind of go backwards a little bit. 2006, I did kind of a cool thing. Our custodian, Larry, came down with a very serious cancer, and he put it off. I had talked to him in September about seeing a doctor. Well, he put it off until January. And, of course, by this time, the polyp had grown immensely. So, and he didn't want to go in because he couldn't afford the copayment. You know, the whole terrible tragedy. You know the story. And so the students put on a number of fundraisers for Larry. And one of them, which I'm very proud of, is my daughter Kelly put on a thing called Lift for Larry, where people went in and we set up a deadlift platform and a bench press. And you would get people to sign off for a nickel, dime, or dollar for every pound you would lift. And I have a great love for Larry. He's one of the truly gentle and decent people I've ever met in my life. And so my wife and I talked about it, and so we got a lot of people to. And then I made a I said that if I pulled 600 in the deadlift, I would donate $1,000. Well, when you've got 400 kids screaming. At age 48, you pull 600 in front of them. And so I pulled a 600-pound deadlift and then wrote a check for $1,000.
Wow, very nice.
In one week, the kids.
What a noble cause, too.
They raised $14,000 in a week, 5 days.
Wow, very good.
And so when people ask me why I work there, I just say, love for Larry, man. 14G in a week, that's pretty good. The other two, Irish, is a good question. There's a 1 week, and of course, there's a lot of people are probably groaning if they've heard me speak before, but about 3 or 4 years ago at the National Masters weightlifting meet, I had a really bad day in the snatch, and we'd gone to Baton Rouge. We had a terrible flight. We got in really late. Everything that could go wrong in a 24-hour period, if you've ever had that trip, you know what I'm talking about. Everything went wrong. In fact, we finally got to the hotel, and Tiff very nicely said to the guy, we need to get some bourbon, And the guy said, well, ma'am, this is a dry county. You'll have to go over the bridge to get some booze. And it's like, Tiff just said, she dropped the F-bomb. And she goes, I can't believe this trip got worse. And so the next day I lift, and my snatches are off. I only get my opener. And because of that, I have put myself in a situation where to win, I have to pull off one of the best lifts of my life in the clean and jerk. Okay. What I did, and this is good advice for your listeners, is I stuck to the plan. Instead of rolling the dice and trying to come in really heavy, I stuck with the plan that I had. Dave Turner, he's my weightlifting. He's not my day-to-day coach, but he's like my men. He's like the guy I talk to. Okay, he's the coach of Hercules Barbell Club, the team I represent, and we outlined. You're going to open it this weight, and then your second attempt will be this weight. Well, I did that, and people were going, well, Dan, you're just going to, why don't you go heavier and try to take it all back? And I remember saying clearly to somebody, I'm following the plan. So on my last attempt, it was a do or die. It was either I am not going to do well here or I'm going to win on body weight. By God, I stepped up on the platform, cleaned that son of a gun, stood up with it, rammed it overhead, boom, and I win. And the thing I always liked about that wasn't so much the lift. I mean, that's fun. The lift is great. It's fun to watch on video because my wife loses her mind. But what was great about it was that I stuck to the plan. And I know a lot of your listeners are into, you know, all kinds of things. Probably the whole gamut of fitness, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Hypertrophy to body fat reduction to maybe
right.
Maybe even competitions and all kinds of things, I'm sure, from cycling. But the thing, the lesson you learn from this is that even when things went bad, I stuck to the plan. And I'm very proud of that because, you know, under the pressure of being in another state, under the pressure of motel bills and cab fare and flights and, you know what I'm talking about,
right.
I stuck to the plan. And I'm very happy about that. It's funny, I put on about 7 pounds overnight on this trip. Bad food and, you know, flight will do that too. The following week is our state championships, and that's when I broke my wrist on the snatch.
What was
nice is that my team, Hercules Barbell Club, the Monday after the Nationals, the kid said, well, how'd Dan do? And Dave says, well, he won. And when he tells him the story, and he says, the lesson, children, you know, is you stick to the plan. Well, the following weekend, I break my wrist, but for my team to win the state championship, we need me to win my division. So I got to clean a jerk with the wrist that's now in 8 pieces.
Jeez.
So I did. It wasn't very much, but I had to not bomb out and place. The funny thing is, a guy from another team that could have won it bombed out in the snatch. If he would have snatched the bar, he would have done just about any normal weight to clean the jerk. They would have won, and we'd have lost. And so the lesson is never bomb out in the snatch, and B, there is times in your life, my friend, and this is the question, this is the proudest moment of my athletic career, where you step up on the stage with a broken wrist, with your eyes rolling back in your head in pain, and you clean and jerk. Because you're on a team, and that's what you do when you're on a team.
That's crazy. Now, how did you break your wrist on a snatch? Was it just too much weight?
Oh, a stupid thing. No, it wasn't the weight. I missed it, and when I hit the ground, my elbow hit the ground, and the bar hit my open hand.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh,
man.
And on film, you can see my wrist explode. It stays inside the skin.
Yeah.
But you can see it. It looks like the wrist just filled up. You can see it filling up.
Right.
And so
that's awful.
So to answer Irish Daza, that's the one. I think that's the one. I mean, there's other things. You know, there's that workout I talked about in Team Nation where I back squatted 315 for 30, 275 for 30, and 225 for 30 in one workout.
Wow.
That's pretty good. But you know, there's a bunch of other things, but you know. I mean, those are the three great stories. Those are the three that show, you know, that sometimes I personally feel that each one of those stories says a lot about the character that these sports build. I mean, I seriously believe that my character has been groomed. You know, I tell you one thing: once you blow your wrist apart in a weightlifting meet to win for the team, you know, losing a couple hours sleep because, you know, kids got sick or your dog pooped on the carpet, it just isn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
You know, you can certainly handle a lot more stress than you think, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Is it a good answer?
Yeah, very, very nice.
All right.
By the way, how's Larry doing?
Well, you know...
Bad question to ask.
No, he's still with us. And, you know, I help him in any way I can, and it's just funny. He's got that colostomy bag on, and the moment they let him go out of the hospital, he comes to school because he says, this is my family. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I find it very inspiring. So,
oh, good. Good.
You know, but he, let's just say, you know, the Boston Marathon won't have him soon. But
right.
He's doing everything I tell my athletes to do. You know what? He shows up. You know, sometimes in life, man, your job is to show up. You know,
right.
When people ask me, you know, what's the secret to being a good father? Well, you show up. You know, what's the secret to being a good husband? Well, you show up. Being
mm-hmm.
a good friend? Well, you show up. Even, you know, if you don't want to help him move to the 15th time, you still show up, you know. And Larry shows up, man, you know.
Right.
So I got great respect for him.
Yeah. Very good. Well, we have another question from Irish Daza. He asked also, if you could go back in time and give your 18-year self one piece of training diet advice, what would it be if you were 18 years old?
Oh, boy, I'd love to talk to little Danny John. I'd love to talk to him. Oh, what a warrior. What a tough kid. Undersized, too small, too slow, too weak. Kid battled, man. What I would tell, I don't know what I'd tell him, because if I tell him too much, he'll lose the fire. I'll tell you one thing I'd tell him. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right things. What is that, Dan? Well, you're snatching and clean and jerking. Yeah, keep doing them. You're front squatting. Yeah, keep doing them. It's okay to take it easy sometimes. Really? Yeah, trust me. Yeah, really. You can back off at times. Really? Yeah, you don't have to go crazier. And, you know, that's the first thing I learned when I went to Utah State, that a couple days off every so often actually worked miracles. I would tell him not to take protein supplements from the 1970s because they'll make you break out too far. I would tell him to try to wait until they get, a little less soy. God, all they had was soy in them. I would tell him that carbs aren't good for you. You eat more protein. And he would say, that's what Dick always tells me. And I said, Dick's right in this. Eat more protein. If you have to eat carbs, eat oatmeal. I would tell him I tell him one thing. You're going to be surprised about how early people in your life are going to die. So make sure you share and embrace every moment you can with your family and friends, because people are going to surprise you how soon they'll be gone. Mm-hmm. And they were. He didn't know it, but they were. I would tell him to make sure he reads the great novels assigned to him, and that you don't just throw the book away when you're done. You'll probably come back to it as an adult. Why buy the book twice? but really, the advice I would give him first and foremost is that I owe everything in my life to the hard work you put in. And, hey, thanks. I don't know if your people realize, your listeners realize that these tough decisions you make in your teen years develop you as a person. I didn't go to the prom. I didn't go to any proms. I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I didn't hang out late. My friend Eric Subert and I spent a lot of nights looking at each other going, we are losers. We're absolutely the biggest losers on the continent. Turned out there was somebody, but they were Canadian, so it really didn't count. I didn't do anything. I trained. I did my homework. But here's the thing. Everything I benefit from now comes from those decisions.
All right. Our good friend Mike Roussel asks that it's rumored that you're going to do the Velocity Diet. He'd like to know information about that.
Sure. Right after there's a big Highland Games in Pleasanton, California over Labor Day, and I'm going to compete in that. The following week, I'm going to do the Velocity Diet for a couple reasons. First, I'm sneaking up on 50, my 50th birthday sneaking right up, and I don't mind being big like I am. In fact, it's kind of fun sometimes. My daughter's date, they draw, they hear me, the men and the boys. And but at the same time, I have to think long, I'm trying to start thinking long term, at the age of 50, all the implements in track and field, and I hate this, I'll still throw open, but in Masters, they all go light, so I don't need to be big to move any of these things. So that's an advantage, too. It's funny, I don't know if you guys can hear that, but either my wife or daughter is doing squats right now with chains. Isn't that amazing?
Nice.
Sorry. You can hear that ching. It's kind of nice that either my wife or daughters are lifting as I'm on the phone. That's kind of a cool house. At least one or two people in the audience is going, that's kind of cool. And the rest are going, that's kind of scary. So, and I give a lot of workshops for the military and for, people who don't exist. And one of the things, the reason they like to come with me, and I won't give you too many details because these people don't exist, is I lead from the front. And one of the things the people who have, the middle people who invite always come back. I always say, why do they want to come? My house, my gym is my garage, and then there's a back area we do the workout. It's just an access road that we put bars and stuff on. It's primitive, And they always say, Dan, because you lead from the front. These guys who don't exist really respect the fact that before we do every drill, I demonstrated that when they're not feeling good, they look over to me and I'm literally twice and change their age doing the same thing. It makes them, go. So, I'm a writer for T-Nation, and we have a writer, putting together a book on the Velocity Diet. And my thought is, here's an opportunity for me to take what has got to be the most difficult diet from self-discipline. It is very difficult. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'll be honest with you. I bought a book on self-discipline and focus. I can't drink booze for 28 days. I mean, okay, that's not 40 days in the desert or anything, but that's right up there, I mean, no booze for 28 days. I mean, only 4 solid meals in 28 days. It's a nightmare. But the upside is this. The diet is pretty good for losing the belly fat, I mean, I constantly think that the reason my stomach is big is because, all the back squats in the early 90s. Everybody I know who did back squats heavy gets that barrel. You get the barrel. Mm-hmm. But the other truth is, well, wait a second. Now, is that a cop-out, Danny? Is that a cop-out? And it's like, let's find out. Let's do the Velocity Diet. Now, if I come out of the Velocity Diet weighing, 218 with a 26-inch waist, well, then I know that it wasn't back squats. It was, knocking back brewskis, And so that's why I'm going to do it. I think it's there's clearly no diet that asks more self-discipline than this one. There's no diet that is more do this. I mean, it is clearly, it is. But the point is, like Chris Shooter will tell you, the upside of this is at the end of it, it's going to be hard for you to start Ohos. Luckily, taste a paradigm, and it supposedly really retrains your taste buds, and it really reminds you of, how, I hate to use one of the seven, I don't want to say gluttonous, but or even slothful, but how how little thought you bring to eating. At the end of the 28 days, eating will be something I'm conscious of. And if there's anything I can, there's a wonderful movie out right now. Very few people have seen it, called The Peaceful Warrior. It's about the book by Dan Millman from the 80s. And one of the things is that the mentor is the idea that you need to be conscious when you do things, And one of the things is, it's funny, because when I teach, and if you ever hear me, I'm always on my audience about good habits. You make yourself a slave to eating breakfast that has protein, fiber, and fish oil. Eat a lunch that has protein, fiber, and fish oil. Be a slave to this. Because, man, once you get away from those 28 days, or whatever, 40 days, or whatever the New Year's resolution, you're going to fall back on your habits. And you have to be, and I, what I'm trying to do is I reteach myself good habits. Is that okay, Anthony?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the thing about that. Go ahead. Sorry, Dan.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was thinking, I don't know if I have enough willpower to do the Velocity Diet. I can eat, clean as a whistle, but having that much sweet stuff without enough savory, I think I would go nuts. But, I know a lot of people have sort of tweaked it, and they'll eat, salads, for example, instead of the shake. But I don't have that big of a sweet tooth. Today, for example, I had a post-workout shake, and I was too busy at work to actually go get some proper lunch, so I made another shake for my lunch. And I was just like, God, this is so sweet. It feels so nasty and bloated. I need some vegetables or rice or something.
Well, that's, part of it is it's based on the old fat fast idea. Mm-hmm. The idea is, it's put up or shut up. That's the idea. Here's the other thing I'm going to do is, I'm going to put in, I'm not comfortable with what I'm about to say. I'm doing blood tests. I was with my doctor today, Dr. Ross Brunetti, a wonderful guy, one of my former students. And my mortician, my doctor, and my lawyer are all former students. And we went over the idea. We talked about blood tests before and after, which I think are something really important. Because, my lipid profiles are fantastic. I mean, they really are good. Hey, but what if they improve? You know,
yeah.
I mean, wow. I mean, here you've got, wait a second. In 28 days, I improved my lipid profile? That's something worth noting. I mean, this also, you know, people like jump starts. So maybe this is, you know. So I agree. I'm going to put my pictures either in a Speedo or whatever up on the web. And I'm not an attractive man, and my body is look kind of goony. I'm going to do my daily waist measurement. I'm going to be very frank in my posts, you know, so Chris can use them for his book. And I think the frankness is important, you know. And if I'm really struggling with this or that, I want people to know, you know. Hey, listen, you know, there's not going to be any BSing on this. I'm going to try to, you know, I'm literally going to lead from the front here again. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, sure. I'm not. But go ahead.
Well, the next question comes from our friend Lost Dog, and he asks, a lot of your advice seems to encourage people to have fun and to not take things so seriously. You're one left to...
Okay, hold on. Let's make sure we separate that sentence out, because... I think he makes a bad judgment on the next question. A lot of your advice seems to encourage people to have fun. Exactly. I'm a big believer that you have to, you know, when people come out of my house to train, and maybe one day you guys will, one of the things we do after we work out, and we have these long, tough, I mean, because we do, you know, we do squats followed by sprints, squats followed by, you know, sled drags, squats followed by farmer bars followed by sprints. I mean, it's really complex, difficult, hard work. And yet, as the workout starts to wind down, you can smell the meat on the barbecue. And, you know, usually at least one person is already filling the cooler with beer and everything else. So while we're working out, you know, we're going to have a meat fest and some beer. We're going to sit around and BS for a couple hours. And the idea is, that's community. That's fun. I try not to take myself too seriously in my training. And that's, of course, now here's the deal. You know, my first trophy comes from 1967. My wife was born in 1968, okay? I've been in sports probably 2 years before that, too. So, I mean, I've been in sports 40 years. So, you know, when you have a 40-year athletic career, you start to realize that if you just decide to, you know, put your nose to the grindstone for 40 years, you're not going to have a nose and you're not going to have a grindstone. I mean, so I've really learned to cultivate the fun. And, you know, I mean, when I coach athletes, one of the first signs that they're overtrained is the lack of fun they have. You know, I just feel for these kids. It's like, why are you out here? Oh, my dad's, oh, God, your dad said, oh, boy. You know, okay. Then I meet their dad, and, you know, well, when I was in high school, yeah, you're 5'3". And don't lie to me. Don't lie to me, you know. Don't lie to me. Trust me, you know. So I really do push. And when you hear me give talks, I often will reference the idea of, you know, what are you out here for? And I think part of it's the camaraderie. I certainly think some of it's the meditative, you know, time. I'm sure some of your people are married, kids, busy lives, and... when they exercise, it's the only alone time they have. And I would never take that away from somebody. If, you know, there are times when you, if you're a personal trainer, you just, you know, the best advice you can have your client do is just go and just work out. Go be numb for like 20 minutes. You know, if you got this, you know, like people think, I got this great 26-mile park behind my house with the rollerblade and stuff. And people go on the parkway with their cell phone. Oh, my God, what? Get a clue. You're walking with your wife on the park with your cell phone. Now, I get it if you have kids or something like that. I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand why you would. But every so often, put the cell phone down. You know, put it down. I mean, oh, well, I need it for an emergency. How many times in your life have you ever gotten woken up and had to drive and really help somebody in an emergency? You know, my mom and dad were convinced that would happen. I don't know how many times it happened, but it doesn't happen very often. So... before, I didn't mean to jump in on you, but I wanted to make sure we separated that thought. Because then he asks, your one lift a day and warm-up as a workout are along these lines. I'm not so sure one lift a day is as fun as Lost Dog thinks. When you squat or front squat, that's the only thing you're going to do in the workout, and it's 15 sets of three. That's not as fun as you'd think. And especially when the bar's bending over your neck on every one of those reps, you know. I guess it's fun with, you know, 135, but, you know, with 365, it's not as fun. You know, that bar bends a lot, you know. But he's right, though, because now, can I keep reading the question? Okay, because he says, from a developmental perspective, how important is sticking to a program versus winging it? And, man, I don't know what you guys are doing in the next couple of weeks, but this is my talk at the LAX seminar. This is my talk. He's exactly right. And how am I doing on time, by the way?
We got plenty of time.
Okay. You know, there's two sides to the education coin, and most people don't know what I'm about to say, and here I am cutting my talk off. But there's what we call systematic education. That's 1 + 1 = 2. A, B, C, D, E, alphabet. Then you make words. Then you make sentences. Then you make paragraphs. Then you make books. That's systematic education. And Lost Dog's question is a good one because, you know, for me to teach you to squat, we need to have a system set up so I can teach the whole room how to squat. But there's the other side that most people miss in education. Unfortunately, I'm from a system that embraces this side as much. It's called systemic education. And the arts are systemic. Certainly, theology, we were a little bit more systemic in its learning process. And I'm a believer that athletics is systemic. And systemic is the same thing that, you know, you have a plant, and your plant has lice on it or whatever it has, mites, okay? And you put that little stuff into the soil, in systemic poisons, and a few weeks later the mites are all gone, right? Well, the question he's asking is this, and to take his question and run with it. Systematic education is when you fall in love with a program. And God, T Nation has millions of them. And lots of people are always looking for the next great program. I love the other side. I love systemic education. I love whatever you want to do is fine, but today we're going to do farmer walks. What does that build? I don't know. Let's find out what it builds. 2 days later, you can't shrug your shoulders and you drop pencils all day because your grip is gone. Well, what did it work, Charlie? I think it worked my grip and my traps. How do you know? Because I can't move either. Oh, that's good to know. And then so you move on from there.
Anyway, so then the last question, Kevin, who wrote this? I just got this outline.
It's a mystery guest.
Mystery guest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Asks, what kind of exercises, spelled with a Z, would you suggest to someone to improve hip flexor flexibility on a squat?
Sure. First and foremost, have you ever done a squat? You know, I'm just saying there's an idea. I like that thing I call the goblet squat. That's where you take a dumbbell or a kettlebell, and then you hold it like you're holding a goblet, and you squat deep, and you try to push your knees out with your elbows, okay? You push your knees out with your elbows. You got that weight on your chest, and you push your knees out with the elbow. Easy for me to explain, and if you jump down in deep squat, it'll make more sense to you. Do some squats like that. The next one is a great trick I picked up from Pavel. You know, Kevin, you're going to squat down. What we're going to do is we're going to loop a towel around. There's that crease line where your leg connects to the body, that crease line. You know, that line, the big, the upside, the V, you know, the V. What we'll do is we'll loop a towel, and you're going to get in that deep squat position. You'll be holding something for balance, and I'm going to pull that V away from your body as hard as I can. I'm going to lean against it. And you're going to have to let that femur elongate to deal with me. And what you'll notice is all of a sudden the hips will just give, and you'll drop 4 or 5 inches. I also have another trick I use, do the towel on both sides, where I put you in the deep position, and then I put my knees in your lower back, and I kind of hold your shoulders a little bit, and I tell you to have a Mr. Universe chest and then a Buddha belly. Mr. Universe chest and then a Buddha belly. And so what you do is that you slowly, by having the big chest and then relaxing your belly, you see people drop. And it's amazing. It's not amazing for the lifter because they hate it. But it's amazing for the participants who are watching because they can see all of a sudden the lifter drop 4 inches. The hip line goes 4 inches deeper. Now, then you grab them by the shoulders and you help them stand up because you've completely shut off any stretch reflex. So that's a great one. The other one I like is this is one that Pavel has me do, and we've even added some adjustments to it. I do this in a hot tub I have one right there on my balcony. It's the hip flexor stretch. You know, it's the classic hip. You know, you put the one leg out front and you have the leg out back and you stretch your hips, right? Two things. First off, when you do it, squeeze your knees together. When I tell people to do that, it's like, oh my God, I've never done the exercise right before. And the other thing is, you've got to make sure your body is vertical. And the way Pavel had me do it was first just to hold a kettlebell and then later stick the kettlebell straight arm over my head. That ensures that you're vertical. Squeeze the knees and go vertical. Mike, what a difference. Then, now we even have a new addition to it, is what we do is we do it, no, can't do this in the hot tub. I guess we could do this in the hot tub, but it'd be just a little tricky for the spotter. But what you do is you grab that hand that's in the air, and you go to the opposite side. So if I have my left leg forward and my right knee on the ground, I'm squeezing my knees, I would grab your right arm and go to your left side, and then you just fall away. You just kind of sink to the opposite floor, and then using your strength, you roll around in that hip flexor region. It's so easy to explain. It's so easy to show and hard to explain, but you use your muscles. You make little circles with your muscles, with your strength. You pull yourself to become more flexible by making these little circles. And I'm telling you, man, it is night and day when you... Okay, and I'll go in order on what... Let me now explain it in a little order, okay? Instantly, the one that works best for hip flexibility is the goblet squat. That is a one-second cure. People look up at me and go, oh, my God, that's what a difference. The Buddha belly, Mr. Universe drill is a good one for the person who's just not getting there anyway. And that's in a group of probably 20, there's usually maybe three people I have to do that to. But the goblet squat alone, and if you, my DVDs show how I'm not here to sell them, but it gives you some ideas on how I use them as tricks to teach this bottom position. So those are instant fixes. The hip flexor stretches are long-term things that especially a throwing athlete would want to do. A throwing, striking, if you have anybody in the martial arts, you have anybody who pitches, you have anybody, you know, those are things you'd want to do probably almost daily, certainly, you know, 3 days a week. I'm not a big believer in flexibility except with the hip flexor, because Americans tend to be extremely tight in hip flexor. I've done miracles with my posture by in helping my hip flexors get more flexible. People keep saying, God, it looks like you lost 30 pounds. I was like, yeah, I put on 10. You know, oh, it's because my belly doesn't just fall forward because my hip flexibility is up, if this makes sense to you, okay?
Those are awesome tips. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try some of those. The Buddha belly and what's the other one?
Yeah. Buddha belly, Mr. Universe, and then
Mr.
The
Universe,
goblet squat.
Yeah.
The goblet squat is the million-dollar one, yeah.
Yeah.
And people have notes on it all over the Internet. You can see those. You can see it all over the Internet, you know, people taking notes at my little clinics and stuff, okay?
Awesome.
Excellent.
Dan, where can you find that DVD you were talking about, though?
Oh, if you go to my website, and it's a pretty simple website, my name is Dan John, and it's .org. Don't go com, O-R-G, okay, because it's nonprofit. I think you'll see it right there. You can click on a picture of me doing a front squat. Actually, I'm recovering from a clean and jerk, and that'll take you to my friend Rob Wolf's site, and he sells them for me.
Cool.
And, yeah, I try to, it's not, you know, I can't let money touch my hands, but this is just how we set it up, okay? I'm pretty busy with my, you know, stuff, you know, with my jobs. And, you know, I don't, it's funny, I'm about to say a weird sentence. I don't do fitness as a profession. You know, I'm a coach. You know, I'm not, mm-hmm. I've got this odd little, strange little niche, you know, where I coach. You know what I'm saying? I'm not very good at the industry side. Yeah. You know, talk to anybody who's heard me speak. I usually give away everything for free. I'm not very good at that. You know, try to save the world problem I have. You know, I'm working on that though. Yeah. So if you go to danjohn.org, the other thing I'm telling you, go to danjohn.org because I've got a whole bunch of archives on Olympic lifting and diet stuff and. bunch of articles from a bunch of different magazines. A whole, like, people will ask me something, right? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of fun things. There's tools in there, and then there's this little newsletter called Get Up that it comes out, generally comes out once a month, but sometimes it comes out twice. It's funny, when it comes out twice, it's usually because lots and lots of stuff's going on. And it's dedicated to Highland Games and Olympic lifting and powerlifting, strongman, throwing events, and just people who are trying to, you know, do the good work. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that kind of... Can I keep talking?
Oh, yeah, keep going, man.
Okay. We got the 92 Olympic shot put champion, had a whole bunch of ideas he wanted to share, but no magazines wanted him to... Mike Stoltz. No, they weren't very complete articles. My God. So we've got two articles by the 92 Olympic shot put champion that no one really wanted to publish because they were just here's 10 things I did. Oh, my God. This is the Olympic shot put champion. And then, of course, the magazines will put, you know, some idiot high school coach from Utah, you know, like me, you know, the 37 things you need to know to teach a kid to throw 22 feet. You know, what a joke. And then we had a really cool thing. We had a guy from England who was traveling through China and saw the Chinese national team training and then went to a little rural school of Olympic lifting. And so he wrote an article, eyewitness account of the Chinese program before anybody made a big deal out of it, because I'll publish anything. I mean, if you found that your life got better by lifting or throwing stuff and you want to write an article, send it in, you know, and nobody makes a nickel on it. The joke is that I pay my writers with a parking space at the GetUp headquarters. And every so often you'll read in the articles them arguing over the parking space, and that's kind of the joke. I have a couple of real consistent writers, a guy named Dave Witt from Kentucky, who's very good. He's probably our most prolific writer. My brother Gary, who picked up throwing as an adult, and we always say that Gary asks the question that no one thought of asking yet. You know, I'll be talking about Zercher squats, and he'll say, well, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, I didn't realize you wouldn't know that, would you? You know, and then we just have a whole bunch of writers. Steve Shafley, who writes on, you know, general prep all the time. You know, Josh Hankins has written articles. Wassing, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. It keeps, and, you know, it's just, and there's probably, I've heard if you decide to print them all out, you better have several reams of paper on your printer. And they're all free, just sitting there waiting for you to take.
It's great. Okay?
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, I've used a lot of, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you go ahead. I was just going to say, it's been a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm glad you've been here. Tell you what, why don't you send me some forum information. If any of your people have questions, they can always email me at dj84123@yahoo.com. Or just send me a link. I know you have a forum. Just send me a link. If they have questions, I'll just come in and buzz in and answer anything that I like.
Cool, okay?
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay. Or they can usually find me at T-Nation. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of other, you know, I mean, I'm not of a ton of sites, but, you know, I'm always glad to, you know, help any way I can. And trust me, it all comes flowing back to me. I mean, it's kind of, my wife will tell you stories. We'll be at the National Superweight Championships, and people walk over and introduce themselves and have food and drink, you know, because of an article or so, you know. So with this, please, it's a wonderful community out there, and I'm always glad to help.
Okay? Absolutely. Sounds good, Dan.
Well, before we go, we're just going to have to send out a huge thank you to our two sponsors, TurbulenceTraining.com, Boost Muscle Growth and Blowtorch Body Fat at TurbulenceTraining.com, and also Greens Plus for great health. And once again, Dan John, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a huge pleasure to get you on, and I'm sure we'll be sending some questions your way as well.
All right.
Sound good? All right, that'll pretty much wrap it up for this week's episode of the FitCast episode number 20. My name's Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm John Williams.
And I'm Dan John.
And we will see you next time on the FitCast. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com and subscribe to iTunes. See you next time.
my bench press goes, you know, from a pretty good number to a number that's wow, you know, and everyone said, oh, what are you doing, man? And it's like, it's technique. So, yeah, sure. Really, what are you doing? No, really. See, I'm pushing my lats when I bench press. Uh-huh. No, really. And so I would just tell him probably to, there's going to be three areas he's going to have to focus on, if this is a he. First, you know, be sure you get yourself around quality people who can, like Mike Klemstein, show you the proper techniques, okay? And then secondly, you know, from day one, you want to be doing at least one day a week working on top end speed on the bench and the squat, and I would even say snatch and clean to to help your deadlift. And then the other day a week, at least, you know, you are doing some kind of movement where you're pushing some big numbers. It could be something as simple as a quarter squat or a box squat. It doesn't have to be the full movement. I mean, that, you know, those people do that, you know. So those would be my three. Those would be the three points I'd like to get. I would avoid that using gear. Gear in this example is the super suits, the super briefs, knee wraps, elbow wraps, the wrist stuff, belts, for at least a while. Just, and you know, that, you know, somebody from West Side might be rolling their eyes at me right now. I don't know. But the idea is try to get very strong, you know. And it wouldn't hurt you to do the Olympic lifts, and it certainly wouldn't hurt you to also, you know, master a few other fun things, you know, at some level of gymnastics, whether it's just something as simple as, you know, pull-ups and things like that, just so that you have that whole body strength. You're always going to break down in the strength sports, in the throwing sports. You're going to break down. Okay, you know, this. When people tell me, I'm doing that injury. No, you're not. It doesn't matter if you do your little, you know, shoulder thingy. You're still going to blow your rotator cuff out. I'm sorry. That's just reality. You know, if you're a quarterback in the NFL, you can do your little rotator cuff exercise until you puke. I'm still going to hit you with my helmet in the shoulder one day and blow it out. Okay? So in the strength sports, bad things do happen. So the more time you spend early, very much like Arnold Schwarzenegger used to do in those summers when he and his buddies would do pull-ups on, you know, trees and stuff, where you've got to build that whole body strength, then I think there'd be some value a long term to that. The West Side guys, of course, you know, pull sleds and do farmer walks and things like that, and I think that would be outstanding too. But I wouldn't pull away from my basic three, technique, the speed day, the max lifts, but I also kind of hint to you to make sure you have some overall body development going on, okay? Mm-hmm.
And learn to love pain. Get used to injuries, I guess.
You just get to the point. It's funny when I go to blood, you know, I donate blood five times a year, and they ask me to, you know, list surgeries, and I just check the box now. Because, you know, every joint I have, and the thing is, though, here I am, 49, I feel great. It's just that if you want to play, you got to learn to play in pain. It's going to happen. I'm not trying to be all macho or even crazy. I'm just saying, you know, when you're out there on the edges, things happen. You know, and whenever people tell me, well, we train this way to prevent injuries. You're a football program. The second you go against your opponent, there's going to be injuries. Oh, that's different. No, it's not different. I won't go down that road. Okay.